trees of green, red roses too.
That is Louis Armstrong, and this is Ed Cohen, your host on Global Business Radio Talk Show, coming to you today from Old Town in San Diego, California. Well, we have a very special guest today, Mr. Pat Williams, a Basketball Hall of Famer and Senior Vice President of the NBA's Orlando Magic. This is about Walt Disney and capturing the Disney magic every day of your life. And so I am really honored to welcome Mr. Pat Williams.
Ed, how are you? Nice to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to our visit.
Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to seeing Saving Mr. Banks, the new movie that's just coming out.
I'm with you on that. I've got reservations for this weekend with my wife, and we're definitely going to take it in. Anything related to Walt Disney, I'm fascinated by.
I grew up, of course, many others did too, loving that. Let's jump right into here. Walt Disney is one of the most enduring icons of the 20th century, and there already are so many books and commentaries about him. What in particular made you, Pat Williams, what made you want to undertake a project of this size to write about the life and lessons of Mr. Walt Disney?
Well, it's part of a series, Ed. I did it with Health Communications, the publisher that did the Chicken Soup for the Soul books for so many years. So they're kind of that mindset. Anyway, I wrote a book for them years back called How to Be Like Michael Jordan. It did well, and they came to me and said, we kind of like this idea of motivational biographies. So we sat down, made a list, and we got a bunch of them done. How to Be Like Rich DeVos, the co-founder of the Amway organization who owns our basketball team. Then How to Be Like Jesus. How to Be Like Women of Influence. How to Be Like Walt Disney. How to Be Like Jackie Robinson. How to Be Like Coach Wooden, and a couple more. We ended up doing 9 of them, Ed. And yes, taking on Walt Disney was a huge project, huge. And I'm sure as we chat here, I can share some of those stories with you.
Well, I'm excited to learn about this. What did you expect to learn as you started this project in 2001?
I moved here to Orlando in 1986, and my mission was to help create an NBA basketball team from scratch, an expansion team. And we were successful in our effort. In fact, we're in our 25th season now as an NBA team. But I became Disney-ized when I got here. Oh, boy. And it can happen very quickly, and it does to many people. And I just was fascinated with the life of Walt Disney. I read about him. I ran into senior Disney executives here in Orlando who had worked for him back in California. I picked their brain, and I had in the back of my mind a book. Well, I wrote the first book called Go for the Magic, and I wrote about Walt Disney's 5 secrets of success. And then when this series began about how to be like, oh, I pushed hard with the publishers. Let's do Walt Disney. And they agreed, and we plunged in, and then came the task of running down as many former Disney employees, entertainers, musicians, I mean, anybody I could find that had a memory of Walt Disney. Many of those people, Ed, had passed away, but a good many were still living, and I got to almost all of them. And I'm so glad I did when I did, because most of those people that I got to are no longer living.
This is such a major project, and it's so inspirational for me personally to be speaking with you, frankly. Walt was ahead of his time with people management and people leadership, wasn't he?
Well, there's no question he was a unique leader. When you study his life, Ed, gosh, I really believe we never should have heard of the man. He grew up in a rather dysfunctional home. 8th grade education, a formal education. 19, he went into the service, World War I, and then he comes out, goes into business for himself in Kansas City after failing at the newspaper. The Kansas City Star fired him in the art department because they said he wasn't creative enough. So he went out on his own, partnered up with a guy named Ub Iwerks, and they went out of business, bankrupt in Kansas City. And Walt took off on his own now and headed out to California to hook up with a brother who helped fund him. And Walt vowed never to work for anybody again other than his family. And they started up the Disney Company. And the thought is he soared to instant success, but that's not true, Ed. He had so many setbacks. So they went bankrupt over the years 12 times, 2 nervous breakdowns. he gets this good character, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, and in 1927 loses Oswald on a legal technicality along with all his artists. They were stolen from him. So he was flat on his back. He's 27, recently married to Lillian, and, oh, he's struggling.
Wow. Okay, so let's dig down now. How did you conduct your research? Now, you went to the history books and you tried to find people who actually knew him. But how else did you do this?
Well, that was the main source. I just wanted to get to these people. I got some wonderful cooperation from the Disney historians, and there are a bunch of them out in Southern California. They were very helpful, you know, in finding these people at their retirement colonies or their nursing homes, you know, or wherever they might be. I went out to Southern California a couple of times and tracked down some people in person, and that was great. Then, this was a big one, the Disney family, and Walt's daughter, Diane Disney Miller, and I'm so sad, you know, she passed away this winter, and that was just, you know, I'd gotten to know her, and she was just a beautiful lady, and anyway, she got me in touch with all of her children, who were Walt's grandchildren, and I tracked down almost all of them, and had wonderful visits with them. And then Roy, his nephew, was of huge help. And after the book came out, Ed, I sent Roy a copy, signed it, and he sent me a little note back. I've got it framed in my office. Dear Pat, thanks for including me in your terrific book about Walt! ! And he had terrific underlined twice. And for the copy, too, it's wonderful! ! Roy E. Disney. That little note from Roy just absolutely gave me a huge lift that we had done the job that we intended to.
So Walt invented the term plussing, plussing. What's this about?
Well, so many of these old Disney legends I got a hold of, you know, they would tell me the story, and it was usually the same story, and the gist of it was we had finished the film, and we thought it was wonderful. Or the new ride at Disney World or Disneyland, and then Walt would come in, you know, for a final check, and inevitably he would find something that he was not pleased with that needed to be fixed or needed to be upgraded, and he would say to them, "Plus it, boys, plus it," meaning not quite good enough, need some improvement here. And remember, this company has my name on it, not yours, and that's how it'll be measured. So, plus it, Ed, simply meant it needs to be taken up to another level. And Walt was so intense and so driven for the highest level of quality in everything he did, even when he didn't have money. And you know, Ed, that has carried on to this day. You go anywhere at Disneyland, or you come to Orlando and spend time at Disney World, I mean, the level of quality is just absolutely the highest level it can be, even though Walt died in 1966. But I think these Disney people, you know, I think they all expect Walt, you know, to come surging back, and he's not frozen, believe me, but they act as if Walt's hiding behind a tree, you know, to see if they're going to pick up that little piece of paper on the ground, or take care of that little piece of grass that wasn't cut right. Oh, boy. High quality, and that all comes from plussing it.
So this is part of the Disney magic.
Oh, I would absolutely agree with that. There, when you come on Disney property, well, first of all, people from all over the world, and here in Orlando, and we're going to have about 60 million visitors here in 2013 that have come to this area, primarily, you know, to go to Disney World. It's called the Walt Disney World, I mean, in tribute to this remarkable man. So there's so much to learn from his life as a dreamer, as a visionary, above all, as a leader. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here in this book, really how to lead like Walt Disney.
So you learned a lot through this, what, three-year process of writing the book? You've learned about the traits, and you've applied them on the team and in business, isn't that right?
Oh, and without question, you know, as I plunged into this, it's first of all, it's it's given me a tremendous outlet in the speaking world, you know, to corporate America, and I make reference to Walt, you know, in just about every talk that I give. But in my own life, you know, I've taken as many of those Disney principles, and let me just say, he was far from a perfect man, but there's so much to take from him as a business leader, as an innovator, as a pioneer, as a risk taker, and above all, that word that he made up, stick-to-itivity. That's Disney ease for hanging in there, for persevering, for not quitting. And Walt had probably, gosh, had about 20 times in his life he could have easily just quit and packed it in. But you see, he had this vision for what he wanted to accomplish, and he just would not let go.
So with this movie coming out, Saving Mr. Banks, it's a story of Mary Poppins, the writer, and the movie, and how the movie was having difficulty getting made. So can you talk a little bit about how he persevered through that and finally did it? And, of course, now it's a classic.
Well, that's true. And he was, again, it was just his drivenness. You know, he was not going to let that one go because he knew how great it could be. And I'm eager to see the movie and see how they play it. It's gotten early rave reviews, just amazing reviews. And, of course, anything that Tom Hanks is in, Ed, as you know, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
But Richard Sherman, who wrote with his brother Robert, wrote so much of the Mary Poppins film. And he said recently, he's 85 now, Richard is, he said, Walt was one determined man. Nobody could say no to him, including Miss Travers, you know, and eventually, you know, Walt just powered his way through. And Julie Andrews, who just starred in that, said recently about Walt, he had a little twinkle in his eye. He had a wonderful sort of bubbly personality that you knew also masked a very serious businessman, said Julie Andrews. But Richard Sherman, I've got to share this story with you, Ed. Richard, this brother Robert, who lived in London and has passed away, but Richard was great to talk to, and we talked about, I just asked him, I said, tell me about Walt. He said, well, he would come in my office Friday afternoon on his way home. He said, I had a piano in my office, and Walt would come in and say, Richard, play the song. And the song, Ed, was Feed the Birds. That was Walt's favorite song. And they would sing it, Feed the Birds, tuppence a day. And then he would walk out of the door and lean back and say, that's what it's all about, Richard. He said, that's what it's all about.
You know, how did he inspire creativity? Just to have words like that with his staff?
Oh, I think they saw in him, you know, how driven and focused he was and how excited he was, you know, about doing the very best in films, and his mind was always churning. And, you know, I never met him, Ed, but you couldn't help but be around him, as I understand, and not just catch that infectious spirit. And as Julie Andrews said to me one day as I researched this book, when I said, what do you remember about Walt Disney? And she said, oh, his sparkling eyes, said Julie to me. Oh, I wrote that one down in a hurry. And we got that in the book. We were almost on deadline when I got that. But we got it in the book. Oh, his sparkling eyes. So those sparkling eyes and that creative bent, you know, that just rubbed off on people. Listen, and Walt was very demanding, and he pushed people, and he saw things in other people that they didn't see in themselves. So he would assign them to projects that they didn't dream they could do or they could contribute. But Walt saw something there. And so, and now these men and women who I got to, they were elderly, but they look back and say, Walt pulled more out of me than I ever would have done myself.
So this talent that he had is, of course, God-given.
Well, you know, obviously he was a unique human being, but I go back to his life, and I just wonder, you know, how he did it. I mean, he didn't have advantages. As I said, not much of a formal education, eighth grade, and he and his dad struggled early. You know, his father was a very demanding guy, and I think there was some dysfunction in the home, and then Walt, you know, gets fired early at age 19. The Kansas City Star lets him go, And throughout, I mean, he just had failure after failure, and then finally began to have some successes, and he just kept plowing. So, yes, there was a creative spirit there, but the work ethic and the perseverance and the drive that he had, well, I think we could all work on that, Ed. I think we could all improve in those areas.
So Walt was always looking for the next goal, the next event, the next thing he could do to make people happy, make the world a better place?
Oh, I think that was part of his mindset. You know, initially it was all with cartoons. And when he came across the idea of Mickey Mouse, think about that. You know, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit gets stolen, and Walt immediately says, okay, we've lost that, but he had a thing for mice, and he began to sketch a mouse out and showed it to his wife, Lillian. Walt already had a name. Lillian was horrified, by the way, of the name, man. It was Mortimer. Mortimer Mouse. Lillian said, far too sissy a name, and sent her husband back to the drawing board. And from that came Mickey Mouse. And think about Mickey Mouse and what has happened. And 60 million people from all over the world come to Orlando to meet Mickey Mouse. Oh, my goodness.
So how do you think Minnie Mouse was named?
Oh, well, I think, you know, probably in a creative session with Walt and his brain team, you know, they're sitting there thinking up these characters. I think the thought process was, boy, we nailed it with Mickey. Now we probably need a mate for him. And they probably kicked around Mary Mouse and, you know, Matilda Mouse and all of this. And then came Donald Duck and all these other names. You know, they had, I'd love to have sat in on those sessions, by the way, Ed, to see how they named all these characters.
Yeah.
Donald needed a mate, and there came Daisy. You know, so it would have been fun to be part of that.
So Walt's life has touched almost everyone living today in some way, even those who never knew him or knew that he had a mustache or never saw him on TV. Why do you think that is so, and how does he touch people?
Well, I'll tell you what, Ed. I think today so many of this generation probably think of Walt Disney as some sort of a cartoon character. You know, and many of them I keep hearing from Disney people are shocked when they find out that Walt Disney was a real person. You know, he died, 50-some years ago, or almost 50 years ago. So, you know, I think they've got a beautiful statue of Walt out at the Disney World here with Mickey. And a part of this book is, you know, let people really realize that this was a real flesh and blood man, you know, with all the issues that all of us have. But he had a creative spark that was just off the charts. And Ed, he always wanted to plus it. He always wanted the next ride or the next film or the next cartoon. Always wanted it to be better than the last one.
So great leadership doesn't get old, right? We live in a world very different from the one in which he created Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and the Magic Kingdom. So how are you applying these principles in your talks to business now?
Well, I talk about, in a lot of settings, Ed, I talk about Walt Disney's five secrets of success. Number one, make today pay off tomorrow. That was always driving him. Everything we're doing today is designed to pay dividends tomorrow. Number two, free up your imagination. Because with a freed up imagination, you can accomplish a whole lot more than you ever dreamed possible. Number three, strive for lasting quality. The highest level of quality in everything you do. That was Walt's philosophy. Number four, stick-to-itivity pays off. And number five, have fun. At the end of the day, that's really what it's all about with Walt. He wanted people to come to his parks and go to his movies and everything that he did to just have an enormous time of fun.
So the name Magic Kingdom, how was the name chosen?
Well, it's a good question, Ed. I think that when they were thinking about it, magic captured everything they were doing. I think the idea of kingdom is pretty cool, that it is all-powerful, I guess. You know, so you put together magic and kingdom, boy, that's a pretty powerful a couple of words. And it sure. And when you go to the Magic Kingdom, you know, you walk through those gates, Ed, and you're caught up, you know, with all that is going on. And so I guess Magic and Kingdom capture it really well. In fact, when we started up our basketball team, Ed, here back in the mid-'80s, we wanted to name the team. We had a contest, and it came down to four or five names. But at the end of the day, we became the Orlando Magic because that just captures Orlando. You know, everybody comes here to experience a magical time. So we thought the nickname Orlando Magic really fit with our community.
Well, now, let's take all this now and go forward into today with lessons learned. And to recap somewhat on some of the things that you've just said, following, you know, how to be like Walt from his humble beginnings and the trials and tribulations through life of imagination, perseverance, optimism, these are all business things. So now you're teaching business people, and my God, you're teaching basketball stars how to be better people as well, and that to me is very exciting. So lesson number one is what? Lesson number two, lesson number three. Can you give us a quick review here, Pat?
Well, I don't know that in any particular order, but lesson number one is pursue your dreams and dream big. Lesson two is do not quit when things go against you, and they're going to go against you, but you got to drive through that. Lesson number three, it's all about creativity and inspiring people around you, you know, to really live to their full potential. It's amazing what people have within them, and I think Walt's great ability was to draw that out of people and force them to be the very best that they could possibly be. And then the final point I would make is Walt and leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. It always has. It always will. And Walt was an outstanding leader. So here's what it takes, Ed, in conclusion, to be a great leader. Seven things one must do to be a leader, right and true. Have vision that is strong and clear. Communicate so they can hear. Have people skills based in love and character that's far above. The competence to solve and teach. And boldness that has fearless reach. A serving heart that stands close by. To help, assist, and edify. So I think that captures the Disney magic that we're talking about here today.
Well, thank you so much. Tell us about the book now, and where can people get the book?
It's been out a while, but it's gotten a real surge here as this new Disney movie has come out. So the name of the book is How to Be Like Walt. HCI is the publisher. And the best way to get it in your hand, and it's because it's so relevant to today, this book will never go out of style or fashion, but Amazon.com, a great way to order books, as well as BarnesandNoble.com. And I know people will enjoy it, Ed. And it's been a real treat to talk to you.
I thank you. We've been talking with Pat Williams, Senior Vice President of the Orlando Magic and author of more than 30 successful books, including four books in the How to Be Like series. Jim Denny is a professional writer who has collaborated with Pat Williams on several books, including How to Be Like Jesus and the upcoming Three Success Secrets of Shamgar. Pat Williams, thanks very much for being our guest on Global Business Radio Talk Show.
You can always visit my website. It's patwilliams.com, and the Twitter page is Orlando Magic Pat.
And I thank you, and I wish you the best of health and going forward, and please come back and be a guest someday. This is Ed Cohen signing off from Old Town San Diego.
I think to myself,